This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Preserving and collecting the past often leads dealers and collectors to scour estate sales and dusty secondhand stores in search of relics. But in the digital age, the past is ephemeral. Old programs won't run on new operating systems. Early iterations of websites get overwritten. And if you've got a stack of 5 1/4-inch floppy disks, good luck recovering the data. The Internet Archive is tasked with being the library of the Internet, or as its mission statement puts it, offering permanent access to historical collections that exist in digital format. In a new collection for the archive, they've gone back to the early days of home computers and collected computer viruses that once infected hard drives around the world. It is called the Malware Museum, and Jason Scott is the curator. Jason, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, hello.
Well, let's start by putting everyone at ease. Are these viruses safe to view?
Well, like the first act in Jurassic World, I'll claim that they're completely safe and that all of our technology will save us and everything will be great. But actually, in this particular case, this was done in accordance and in partnership with a virus researcher named Mikko Hipponen in Finland. And he personally went through each of these and removed any routines that would cause any trouble. It's like a gun with the barrel sealed up. It's just the code itself without any of the bad parts.
So what do we see when we're viewing a virus?
So this particular collection is focused on the visual aspect. And so obviously, you know, viruses have a very long history. They've been around since, many ways, the early days of home computing. And many of them are silent. They just do what they do. But a small amount of them would actually be kind of weirdly proud or flamboyant in how they did things. And they might not be destructive. I mean, one of the things about viruses is that they're thought of as being destructive. And some of them weren't destructive. They just simply worked to put themselves in everything on every machine. And when they got that big opportunity, obviously there's no way for them to use an internet to send things home. So what they would do instead is just do this wonderful graphic demonstration or put out a message or a flag or make some sounds. And they're a weird kind of art in themselves, because the person would never be able to experience their own artwork. The artist will never see their art in use because it's somewhere out there in the world.
So basically, you might click on a virus, you know, open it thinking it's an email or an attachment from someone else, and you'd see, I don't know, a bomb or a face sticking its tongue at you and giving you a raspberry kind of thing.
Exactly. And in some cases, this is pre-even email. So what might happen is that your machine might have an infection of this virus, and when you put other floppy disks in, the virus would see it and put itself on it and then set off a timer saying, if I'm read from this many times. And it's interesting how you can, you know, set yourself up. So if you say, don't make myself known for 5 iterations of using this floppy disk, people will spread it before they realize what they've done.
Where did these viruses come from? Where'd you get them? I mean, how do you collect or save a virus?
It depends. There's definitely been cases of collecting live computer viruses. You know, people definitely do that. You know, a lot of viruses have to put themselves completely into memory. So somebody who knows what they're doing might infect a machine and have a tool that takes a snapshot of the memory. And from that, they recreate the virus. There's another possibility, which sounds even darker, but in the 90s and going forward, virus companies actually started competing with each other, you know, antivirus companies, I should say. And so they would want to know about the newest viruses to be able to put them into their antivirus programs. So they would have kind of open bounties of send us the viruses that you find. And so there were some people who were writing viruses so that they could get money from the antivirus companies.
Wow, that is crazy.
So there's actually many different ways they could have been captured, either by doing analysis of a machine that's infected or just getting your hands on viruses from places where these people might trade them between each other.
Now viruses, the threats of cyber warfare, serious, you know, shut down entire systems kind of things are threatening us. How have viruses actually changed over the years?
I think one of the things that really impressed people about the sea change in malware and viruses was the Stuxnet virus. That was basically weaponized code that current belief, and of course we'll never get to the end of this thing, believes that it was a collaboration between the United States and Israel and one or two other countries to write particularly well-made, virulent code that would destroy Iranian nuclear facility, I guess. It would be that it would make the centrifuges go slightly off. It knew exactly how very specific, extremely rare controllers worked, and it would turn off the thing by going into a kind of maintenance mode. And that is a Manhattan Project level piece of work. And I didn't think people accepted that cyber warfare as a countries against countries would be happening. It was real until now, until Stuxnet. But there have always been people who write more and more and more complicated malware. If a machine can do anything, it can do anything bad. And, we have cases of flashlight applications that turn out to be mining Bitcoin, or spyware that is used to do very specific attacks, what they call spear phishing. It's a sad kind of innovation. I think it's happened all along all computing, of course. But, to talk about what we have up on the archive, I tell people it's the difference between terrorists and cartoon supervillains. Hmm. The stuff that we have is like, oh, you made an ambulance go across the screen. Compared to the others, that's a pretty lightweight kind of hijinksery. That's pretty much Dennis the Menace level.
Have you already started collecting these new viruses?
To some extent. There's other groups who do virus collecting, and I tend to collect what other groups collect. So at the archive, we don't really have the staff to say, you collect nothing but Sumerian encyclopedias. We'll say, who out there has a collection of Sumerian encyclopedias? And we'll work with them to put it online. That way, you're not spreading yourself too thin. And I've certainly collected ranges of viruses and ranges of old computer viruses going back to the 80s. And what always makes me laugh is that people will download it and say, my antivirus program says it has a virus. And I'll say, it's an entire collection of viruses. So yes, yes, your antivirus program is working great.
Well, Jason, what an education. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Jason Scott, he's an archivist, historian of technology, and filmmaker. You can safely browse the Malware Museum for yourself. There's a link at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.